A beacon of faith so high, so grand. A beacon of faith so high, so grand. His light still spreads through every land. The luminary of Baghdad.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, Amma Ba'd, Fa'a'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Wajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Assalatu Wassalamu alayka Ya Rasulallah, Assalatu Wassalamu alayka Ya Habiballah, Assalatu Wassalamu alayka Ya Nabiyallah, Wa ala Alika wa Ashabika Ya Noorallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, the Luminary of Baghdad. And mashallah, we are in the month of Rabi'ul Ghawth, Rabi'ul Akhir, in which we commemorate the Urus of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. And I'm sure by now that you have been enjoying the previous episodes as well, wherein we discuss the biography, we discuss the life, the blessed life of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahimahullah. And today, alhamdulillah, we do have a very splendid topic of discussion, and that is regarding the scholarly status of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, subhanallah. So do stay in touch with this beautiful episode, and you and I will gain a lot. And today we are going to be discussing, as I've mentioned, his knowledge, his scholarly status. So before that, before we actually dive deep into this discussion, let us first and foremost mention the virtues of sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the one who sends salat upon me the most in this world, that person will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has been mentioned by Sayyidina Hafiz Abu al-Abbas Ahmad rahimahullah. He says that he went to the Ijtima'i Ghawthiyah of Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, along with Allama ibn Jawzi rahimahullah. And a Qari recited the Holy Quran. After the recitation of the Holy Quran, Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah, he started the sermon and the Holy Quran was recited. Now mentioning the commentary of one of the ayahs, he rahimahullah, he mentioned the meaning of one ayah. And I asked Allama ibn Jawzi rahimahullah, did you know about this commentary? And he gave a positive reply by saying this, that he had that commentary in his knowledge, that the tafsir of that ayah, he had it in his knowledge. So afterwards, Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah, he mentioned 11 commentaries, tafasir, one by one. Upon my asking, Allama ibn Jawzi rahimahullah kept saying that he also knew about the tafasir. So Hafiz Abu al-Abbas rahimahullah said that Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah, he mentioned 40 tafasir, 40 commentaries of that blessed ayah, and also mentioned the name of the Quranic commentators of every commentary. But after 11 commentaries, for every commentary, Allama ibn Jawzi rahimahullah, he gave a negative reply by nodding his head that he did not know about that commentary. Subhanallah, subhanallah. From this, dear viewers of Madani Channel, from this parable, the status and rank of Sayyidina Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah, his knowledge can easily be judged as he mentioned 40 tafasir, 40 commentaries of only one ayah. Only one ayah at the same time. 29 out of those 40 commentaries even were not in the blessed knowledge of Allama ibn Jawzi rahimahullah. And he too, he was a great Islamic scholar and imam of the time. So he rahimahullah, he wrote valuable books on many sciences, many arts, in addition to the knowledge of the Quran, hadith, fiqh, geography, medicine, history, astrology, mathematics, syntax, etc. And it is said that the number of his books is more than 300. And many of them, they consist of many volumes, and some booklets are also included in them as well. Now, Imam Ibn Qudamah Hanbali rahimahullah, he has said that Imam Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah, he was the Imam of lecturing, of sermon and oration. He was the Imam of sermon and oration. And he, rahimahullah, he wrote best books on different arts and sciences. He would also teach and was also a Hafidhul Hadith. And a Hafidhul Hadith is that personality who has memorized how many ahadith? 100,000 ahadith with their references. But despite being so great Imam of his time, Allama Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah knew about only 11 tafaseer out of 40 commentaries mentioned by Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah. So from this DVD of Madani channel, the great depth of the knowledge of Ghawthi A'adham rahimahullah, it can be easily judged. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ghawthi A'adham rahimahullah, he was still a small child when his father, Sayyid Abu Salih Musa Jangi Dost rahimahullah, passed away. So Shaykh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, he was brought up by Sayyidina Abdullah As-Sawma'i rahimahullah. And this was his maternal grandfather. Sayyidina Abdullah As-Sawma'i rahimahullah was one of the noble Islamic scholars of Jilan. And he also possessed great spiritual characteristics and attributes. And it's mentioned that besides being extremely pious and righteous, Ghawthi A'adham rahimahullah, he acquired the early education and tarbiyah, the upbringing from him. So someone asked Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, since when did you come to know that you are a wali? You know what he said? He responded and he said that I was 10 years old when I would leave home for going to the maktab, meaning to the school, to the madrasa, for studying. Then I would see the angels who would say to the boys that make space for seating the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has been mentioned in Bahjatul Asrar. Now, after acquiring the basic education in his city, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, he went to Baghdad in 488 Hijri. At what age? At the age of 18. And he had this yearning for religious knowledge. So he went there because Baghdad was the only educational and political center of the Muslims in that era. So it was the central point. And Ghawthi A'adham rahimahullah, he is making his way there. And Sheikh Muhammad bin Qa'id al-Awani rahimahullah has narrated that I was once present in the court of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. And I asked him questions regarding different matters. And one of those questions was, "Ya Sheikh, on what basis do you decide your matters?" And Ghawthi A'adham rahimahullah, he responded and he said that I decide my matters on the basis of truthfulness. I have never ever told a lie. I have never ever told a lie and never gave a misleading statement. I never told a lie, even in my childhood, when I used to study in the madrasa. Allahu Akbar. And he further said that once I went towards a jungle during the days of Hajj, and I was following a bull when suddenly that bull looked at me and said that, "Ya Abdul Qadir, ma li hadha khuliqta?" That, "Oh Abdul Qadir, you have not been created for these types of activities." So I came home, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, he says that I came home anxiously and climbed onto the roof, and I saw that people were standing in the plain of Arafah. Thereafter I came to my mother and requested her that let me devote my life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and grant me permission to go to Baghdad so that I may acquire Islamic knowledge over there. And my mother, rahmatullah alayha, asked me its reason. So I told her the incident of that bull. This incident, it moved her to tears, and she brought the 80 dinars which my father had left in inheritance. I took 40 dinars from them and left 40 dinars for my brother, Sayyid Abu Ahmad Jilani. And my mother, she sewed my 40 dinars in my clothes, and she granted me permission to go to Baghdad, and she strongly advised me. That advice was to tell the truth in every circumstance and accompanied me even till some distance outside Jilan to see me off. And she then said that, "Oh, my beloved son, go seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I send you away from me, and now I will not see your face until the day of Qiyamah." Allahu Akbar. Look at this sacrifice of a mother sending her son to get the education of deen, to seek knowledge of deen. There is a lesson in this for you and I, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that today we see that some out there, they are reluctant in sending their children to learn Islamic knowledge. But they are so quick, you know, for them to go into seeking worldly knowledge. There should be a balance. No one is saying that you should not seek worldly knowledge at all. No, you have to and you should, you must. But at the same time, you cannot ignore Islamic knowledge. You cannot put that on the back. See, that has to be priority. And then comes the worldly knowledge. So the balance has to be there, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Today we see some parents are reluctant to send their kids to seek Islamic knowledge. And even if they go to a madrasa, they don't pay attention to their child's Islamic knowledge. They don't take it so seriously compared to how they would take the child's schoolwork so seriously. And here we see the mother of Ghawse Pak rahimahullah sending her son to Baghdad in order to study the knowledge of deen. So Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, he says that I then left for Baghdad from Jilan along with a caravan. And on the way to Baghdad, the caravan was attacked by 60 robbers who started snatching valuables from the travelers of the caravan. And they plundered everyone. But no robber asked me, meaning no robber asked Ghawse Azam rahimahullah for anything, because he seemed to have nothing. Then Ghawse Azam rahimahullah, he said that a robber asked carelessly while passing by me, "Oh boy, do you also have something? Do you have anything?" And I said, "And yes, I have 40 dinars. That robber, he considered it a joke and he moved ahead. And after a short while, another robber asked the same question while passing by me. And Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, he gave the same reply. Both robbers now informed their chief about Ghawse Azam rahimahullah. So the chief called Ghawse Azam rahimahullah and asked him about the dinars. So he says that I gave the same reply as before. And the chief searched Ghawse Azam rahimahullah, and he really found 40 dinars in an inside pocket of the shirt of Ghawse Pak rahimahullah. All of the people, they were amazed and they were surprised to see the truthfulness of Ghawse Azam rahimahullah. And when asked about the reason for telling the truth, even in this situation, Ghawse Azam rahimahullah, he replied and he said, "Before I departed, my mother had made me promise to tell the truth in every circumstance and never to speak a lie. I cannot break the promise I have made to my mother." And listening to this, the chief of the robbers, he cried. He burst into tears and he said that, "You have sincerely fulfilled the promise you made to your mother, but I have been going against the promise of for years I have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And impressed by the sincerity and piety of this young traveler of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chief of the robbers repented of his sins. And his fellow thieves also repented and said that, "O chief, you were our leader when we were robbers. Now you will also lead us to the path of righteousness." And they returned the valuables they had snatched from the people of the caravan. And these were those very first people who had repented at the hands of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. So can you see the use of Madani Channel, truthfulness? This was the advice from the mother of Ghawse Pak rahimahullah, to always speak the truth. And due to Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah speaking the truth, those robbers, those 60 robbers, including the chief of the robbers, they were all privileged to make repentance at the hands of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah. So subhanallah, devs of Madinah channel, we do have a very beautiful kalam. Let us go and rejuvenate our heart, mind, body and soul by listening to this melodious kalam, and thereafter we will be back to discuss much further in this beautiful topic inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear Islami bhaiyon aur Madani channel ke nazreen, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, bachpan mein jo mujhe yaad padta hai, zindagi mein sabse pehle agar maine koi naat padhi thi to wo yahi naat thi jo aaj main aapke samne ek bar phir pesh kar raha hu.
Kis tarah paon rakhe ya sahib-e-basirat, ya sahib-e-basirat. Kis tarah paon rakhe ya sahib-e-basirat. Aankhein bichhi hui hain har ja teri gali mein, duniya teri gali mein, ukba teri gali mein.
بابا کہاں چلے؟
مدینے
مدینے مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
چلا ہوں ایک مجرم کی طرح میں جانب طیبہ چلا ہوں ایک مجرم کی طرح میں جانب طیبہ نظر شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ نظر شرمندہ بدن لرزیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کسی کے ہاتھ نے مجھ کو سہارا دے دیا ورنہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ کہاں میں اور کہاں یہ راستے پیچیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نندیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ کہاں میں اور کہاں اس روضہ اقدس کا نظارہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دزدیدہ نظر اس سمت اٹھتی ہے مگر دوز دیدہ دوز دیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں مدینے جا کے ہم سمجھے تقدس کس کو کہتے ہیں ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ ہوا پاکیزہ فضا سنجیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
بصارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے بصارت کھو گئی لیکن بصیرت تو سلامت ہے مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ مدینہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے مگر نادیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر وہی اقبال جس کو ناز تھا کل خوش مزاجی پر فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ فراق طیبہ میں رہتا ہے اب رنجیدہ
مدینے کا سفر ہے اور میں نم دیدہ جبھی افسردہ قدم لغزیدہ
Subhanallah, a truly beautiful kalam, and I'm sure each and every one of you must have enjoyed that kalam. Well, dear viewers of Madhuri Channel, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the scholarly status of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani Rahimahullah. And mashallah, we have mentioned quite a bit, but there is still much more to go, in which we will learn regarding the difficulties that Ghawth-e Azam rahimahullah went through in pursuing Islamic knowledge. Before we went to listen to the Quran, we have heard the incident about the robbers, the 60 robbers, And Ghawth-e-Azam rahimahullah, the advice that his beloved mother gave to him, and we see, the lesson that we take is the mother of Ghawth-e-Azam not only granted him permission for traveling far away, but she also gave him living and traveling expenses as well. So we also should, you know, those parents out there who financially support their children for acquiring worldly education or business purpose, but do not help them in acquiring Islamic knowledge, they should specially ponder over this point. And we also come to know that Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah was the embodiment of truthfulness. He never told a lie in his lifetime and decided his matters on the basis of truthfulness and honesty. And one of its main reason is the proper religious upbringing given to him by his pious mother, Sayyida Umm al-Khair Fatima rahmatullah alayha. As we have listened and heard that his mother made him take a pledge to always remain firm on truthfulness. So we too, we should also give our children an Islamic upbringing. We should always speak the truth ourselves and also persuade our children, persuade them to speak the truth even in their childhood. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that hold on to the truth, because the truth leads to righteousness and righteousness leads to Jannah. A man continues speaking the truth and striving for truth until he is written before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as very truthful, a Siddiq. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, refrain from lying, for lying leads to sin and sin leads to Jahannam. A man continues lying and tends to tell lies until in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is written as a big liar. Allahu Akbar. You know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr At-Tamimi rahmatullah alayhi has said that Sayyidina Ghawth-e-Pak rahimahullah has himself narrated, and he said that once people of Baghdad, they suffered from starvation, and due to which I had to face severe hardships and poverty. And for many days, I did not get anything to eat. And feeling extreme hunger, one day, I went towards the river Tigris so that I could eat spinach or leaves of any other vegetable over there. When I would go, many people would already be there and everyone would rush to pick it up. They would find anything eatable, they would go and pick it up. And I did not like resisting them and return to the city in the same state so that I could find something there, but I couldn't. And feeling weak because of extreme hunger, at last I went to the masjid. Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah says that I went to the masjid and sat in a corner. And after a little while, a non-Arab young person entered the masjid having roti and roasted meat and started eating. I would have a spontaneous desire to open my mouth at his every morsel because of extreme hunger, but I reproached my nafs for this act. And meanwhile, that non-Arab, he looked at me. He brought food and served me. He asked me about my nationality and occupation. And I replied that I am a city of Jilan and acquire religious knowledge over here. So he asked me that, do you know about a young man named Abdul Qadir who belongs to Jilan? And I replied that I am the person you are looking for. And listening to it, he got nervous. He apologized to me and he said that your mother had given me 8 dinars to deliver them to you. When I had arrived at Baghdad, I had money for my living expenses, but it took me so many days to find you that I ran out of money. It was the third day since I have been starving, and having no alternative, I have spent your money that I was entrusted with to purchase this flat bread and meat for a meal. You may now eat this food with satisfaction because all this belongs to you in reality. Now I am your guest, not you. So I comforted him and gave him my consent. When we had finished having the meal, I saw him off with the remaining food and some money. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at this incident that Ghawth-e-Azam rahimahullah himself has narrated. So from this we see the Jew that we notice that Sheikh Abdul Qadir rahimahullah, he faced such great difficulties, hardships, and starvation to acquire Islamic knowledge. Even then, he remained extremely patient, pious, righteous, and selfless. He didn't complain, he didn't whine, he didn't cry, nothing of that sort. And moreover, if he would find anything to eat, then what he would do? He would leave it for others selflessly, having the yearning for helping and supporting others, and would remain patient himself. And, you know, expressing the great difficulties and hardships that Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah had to face, or he had faced to acquire Islamic knowledge, Sheikh Abdullah Najjar rahimahullah has stated that Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah had told him, I would run into even such difficulties that even the mountains would have blown to bits if they would have run into those difficulties. When those frequent difficulties would exceed my power of endurance, then I would lie on the floor and I would recite these blessed ayat, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That means, so without doubt, there is ease with hardship. Without doubt, there is ease with hardship. And after the recitation of these ayats, when I would raise my head, all of my troubles would come to an end and I would feel peaceful and satisfied. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And you see the viewers of Madani channel, that those who are seeking Islamic knowledge, those who are studying and learning Islamic knowledge, don't think that difficulties aren't going to come. Don't think that challenges aren't going to come. Challenges are going to come. Difficulties are going to come, because it is shaitan that does not want you to learn. Shaitan does not want you and I to seek Islamic knowledge. And the moment a person pursues this path of seeking Islamic knowledge, shaitan will come and will try and divert you away. Will try and distract you with social media, will try and distract you with this luxury, with that luxury. And if you are weak, then you would be distracted. So seeking knowledge, you have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah ta'ala to grant you and I istiqamah, consistency, sincerity, patience. All of these views of Madani channel, we need to make this dua every day of our life. Look at Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. The difficulties that he had to go through, the difficulties that he had to endure. But did we ever read that he complained? Did we ever read anyway that he was tired of it, that he gave up? No, he didn't give up. He continued. He fought his nafs and he strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, he had a very unique way of acquiring knowledge of deen. And his profound eagerness to seek knowledge can be realized from his experiences, which is that, he says, after having lessons from my teachers, I used to go to the jungle where I used to continue my studies in the deserts and wasteland. Whether it was day or night, windstorm or pouring rain, heat or cold, whatever it was, I used to study. And I had a very small, Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah, he says that I had a very small turban, Imam Sharif, on my head in those days. And Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah would eat little vegetables to overcome his hunger. And sometimes he wouldn't even find these vegetables. When he would see others in search of food, he would return empty-handed. He wouldn't find it appropriate to eat, as it may deprive others whom he thought needed food more than him. And he would continue his studies and sleep hungry on the ground filled with pebbles. Allahu Akbar. And this is Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. I mean, ponder over it, that in the face of severe hardship and suffering, Ghawthi Pak rahimahullah sought Islamic teachings, and in spite of this fact, never ever, not a single word of complaint and grievance came from his blessed mouth. So these were the difficulties, that Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah, he had went through acquiring Islamic knowledge, and what a great scholar he became, what a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he became. He became Imamul Awliya, the leader of all the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the viewers of Madani Channel, let's look at his scholarly position. Now Sayyidina Shaykh Muhammad bin Yahya rahimahullah has said that having after completion of his studies, Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah assumed the position of iftar, issuing fatawa and imparting Islamic teachings to others. And together with, he also occupied himself in giving lectures, in preaching and the publication. So the blessed scholars from all over the world would come to his court to seek Islamic teachings. And at that time, there was no one personality parallel to him, rahimahullah. And he was the knowledge of ocean. You know, he had a great command and dominance over sciences of fiqh, hadith, Quranic commentary, Arabic grammar, literature, etc. And the blessed teachers of Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, while conferring him with the certificate of the science of hadith, commented with pleasure and they said that, O Abdul Qadir, however we are giving you the certificate of the science of hadith, but the fact is that we have learnt the meaning and interpretation of a hadith from none other than you. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now he had such a great devotion and strong eagerness for disseminating Islamic teachings that he did not use to waste his time in the least. And he used to engross himself in scholarly activities. And once Sayyidina Qadi Abu Sa'id Mubarak rahimahullah, he had a madrasa, an Islamic school in Baghdad, and he used to give counsel and teach students at his madrasa. When Sayyidina Qadi rahimahullah learned about Ghawth-e Azam rahimahullah, his knowledge and practice upon the knowledge, scholarly achievements and insight, so Sayyidina Qadi rahimahullah, he handed his madrasa over to him. And thereafter, as people heard about his grace and marvel and scholarly expertise, they in a large number started coming to him for gaining Islamic knowledge. Allahu Akbar. You know, the writer of the book, Bahjatul Asrar, Allama Nuruddin Abul Hasan Ali Shatnufi rahimahullah, has said that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah used to deliver speeches regarding 13 subjects. Yes, 13 subjects. And in his sacred madrasa, people would study tafsir, hadith, fiqh, and ilmul kalam, etc. And both times, before noon and afternoon, he would teach people tafsir, hadith, fiqh, ilmul kalam, usul, and nahav. And after dhuhr salah, he would teach the Holy Quran with the correct pronunciation, tajweed, makharij. This was Ghawth-e Azam rahimahullah as a teacher. And what about his love for students? Now it's mentioned that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, he was the embodiment of knowledge and practice upon the knowledge. And he had excellent manners. And he would become extremely affectionate with students and would also address even their small needs as well. You know, in reply to a question about Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam rahimahullah, asked from Imam Ibn Qudama Hanbali rahimahullah, he said that we had the last part of his life and stayed in his madrasa. We were looked after in this way that sometimes Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah, he would send his son Sayyidina Yahya rahimahullah to us, who would light an oil lamp. And Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam rahimahullah would send food for us from his own home. Allahu Akbar. Now Sayyidina Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah would show great affection towards Islamic students as he would send food for them from his own home. So we should also address the needs of Islamic students as per our financial ability. For example, if a person has no financial problem, he should, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with good intentions, contribute to satisfy the needs of poor Islamic students, their books, their clothes, accommodation, as per the weather especially, and include himself amongst those who render services to Islam. You know, perhaps by virtue of this good deed, our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may get pleased with us forever. Perhaps by the virtue of this good deed, we may be forgiven. We don't know. We may be forgiven. You know, for example, the way we want to give good food to our children, we want to see them in nice clothes. We take great care of them in winter, making sure that they're warm and cozy. We try to protect them from the cold weather by thinking that my son cannot bear a light cold wind, nor can he bear a little blow of warm air. Similarly, we should think about the Islamic students as they may also be in need of many basic necessities of life which will not be available easily everywhere. This is something very, very important in the areas of Madinah Nation. You may know of someone who is studying Darsi Nizami, who is doing Alim course. Go there, sponsor a child, sponsor a student, contribute towards their books, contribute towards their meals, contribute towards their spending money. Give them something. It is your part that you are doing, your contribution for the service of Islam. Because that tomorrow they will be giving their services to Islam and you contribute to that. Imagine the amount of reward and thawab that you would be getting. You know, in this month of Rabi'ul Akhir, we are going to celebrate and commemorate the Giyarvi Sharif, the 11th of Rabi'ul Akhir of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah. You know, he was so affectionate, as we've mentioned, towards Islamic students that he used to overlook their weakness. Yes, Sayyidina Sheikh Ahmad bin Mubarak rahimahullah has said that Sayyidina Ghawth-e-Azam rahimahullah, he had a non-Arab student who was very not intelligent, he was dull. And he would understand things with a lot of difficulty. So once that student was sitting reading his dars, his lesson near Ghawth-e-Pak rahimahullah, and a person by the name of Ibn Samhal came to see Ghawth-e-Pak rahimahullah. When he saw the dullness of the student and the patience of Ghawth-e-Pak rahimahullah upon the dullness of the student, he became very surprised, he became shocked. And as the student left, Ibn Samhal humbly said that, "I am surprised at the dullness of the student and your patience upon his dullness." He replied that, "I have to work hard on the student for less than a week only because he will die." Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Ahmad bin Mubarak rahimahullah has said that we started counting the days of that student since that day. And when the week was about to end, the last day he really died. Allahu Akbar. Look at the concern that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah had for students, no matter whether they were dull, whether they were intelligent, but he had this concern and affection for them. And he also had great expertise in dars, in teaching, in writing, in compilation, in counseling, and other subjects. But especially, he had such great expertise in writing fatawa that the great Islamic scholars, Islamic jurisprudence, and the Mufti-an-Ikram, they were also blessed by his excellent fatawa. You know, Sheikh Imam Muwaffaquddin bin Qudama rahimahullah said that in 561 Hijri, we went to Baghdad and saw that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah is amongst those who have been given the kingship of knowledge and practice upon that knowledge as well, and writing fatawa. And he had such great scholarly expertise that if extremely difficult rulings were asked from him, he would give extremely easy and nice answers to those rulings. He spent almost 33 years in rendering services to Islam regarding dars and teaching and writing fatawa. And during this period of time, when his fatawa were brought to the Islamic scholars of Iraq, they would become astonished at his answer. Like Imam Abu Ya'la Najmuddin rahimahullah said that Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah was very renowned for his fatwa in Iraq, and people would contact him for fatwa. Like, for example, an incident occurred wherein the son of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, Sayyidina Abdul Razzaq Al-Jilani rahimahullah, has said that once a question was sent to Ghawthi Pak, rahimahullah, the question was that a person swore that divorce will occur to his wife on the condition that he will perform such an act of worship which no one would be doing on the face of earth at that time. And if he fails to do so, 3 divorces will occur to his wife. When this question was brought to him and when he was asked, what should the person do? Which worship should he perform so that his wife could stay safe from 3 divorces and he could also be safe from breaking the oath? Sounds tricky, but Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, he immediately gave the answer and he said, that person should go to Makkah al-Mukarramah and get the place of tawaf emptied, and then he should perform tawaf alone. He will fulfill his oath and his wife will not be divorced. And this reply of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, it astonished the Islamic scholars. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So from this parable, we see the extreme intelligence and scholarly expertise of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah have become very, very clear, which even astonished the Islamic scholars. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So this was one of the expertise of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. Also, we see that he wrote many, many books for serving Islam and guiding the Muslim Ummah. In his booklet, Tadhkira Qadriya, Allama Alauddin Baghdadi rahimahullah stated, after mentioning the names of 7 books of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, and it has been learned from the authentic narrations that Ghawthi A'azam rahimahullah, he wrote 69 books. Allahu Akbar. And in order to spread the apparent and spiritual branches of knowledge, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, he rendered countless services to Islam by his dars, teaching, his books and compilations. And in addition, he also served Islam greatly by his sermons, his lectures and preaching. And the style of his speech was so beautiful that a large number of people would pay attention to him. Even those that were far, they could listen to him clearly. The people who would come to his ijtima would not leave the ijtima in the middle, but rather would remain seated and listen to the speech silently until it continued, because his speeches used to be extremely effective. When he started the gatherings of speech, the madrasa would get short of space due to a large number of attendees, and people bought the buildings around the madrasa and dedicated them to this righteous cause. And apart from Baghdad, people started coming from far and wide to listen to his lecture. It's mentioned also that he would, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah, he would deliver the speech 3 days a week, which would be heard by countless people, Islamic scholars and righteous people. And it has been narrated that the number of people who would come to listen to his sermon and preaching was generally more than 70,000, including Islamic scholars and jurisprudents of Iraq and pious Sufis as well. 400 people would attend his majlis with pens and ink pots and would record and save his sayings. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Mufarraj bin Nabhan Shaybani rahimahullah has said that when Ghawthi Pak rahimahullah became famous, 100 most intelligent Islamic jurisprudents of Baghdad agreed to it, that everyone would make different questions about different subjects. Why? So that they could make Ghawthi Pak rahimahullah speechless by these questions. So having made this plan, they all came to Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah. And Shaykh Mufarraj rahimahullah said that I was also present in the court of Ghawthi Pak. And when the Islamic jurisprudents came and sat, Ghawthi Azam rahimahullah lowered his head. And at that time, a light emerged from his blessed chest, which was seen by that very person whom Allah Ta'ala willed to show. When the light reached the chest of every jurisprudent, all of them became astonished and started shaking. Then they became bareheaded near the blessed mimbar of Sayyidina Ghawthi Pak rahimahullah. And Ghawthi Pak rahimahullah embraced everyone by turns and mentioned to them their questions and told their answers as well. Allahu Akbar. And in this way, he one by one answered to the questions of all of them. When the blessed majlis ended, I went to those Islamic jurisprudents and asked them about the incident. And they talked about the curse of testing Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. They said that they suddenly forgot everything when they came and sat in front of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. But Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah, he embraced them. So every one of them restored their knowledge. And the most surprising thing to them was that Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah gave those answers to the questions which they themselves did not know before. This is Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah. This is the scholarly status of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A beacon of faith so high, so grand. A beacon of faith so high, so grand. His light still spreads through every land. The luminary of Baghdad.